What's happening, everyone, and welcome to Over the Top. We're here with you on this Monday evening to talk about the latest matches in the Premier League. It's match week 27 this time around. I'm Kyle, and I've got my man Justin here. What's up?
What is up, Kyle? Teams on the rise and teams falling faster than a lead downrigger ball into the ocean, Kyle. I don't know if you get that reference, but any of you that like fishing know what I'm talking about.
Totally over my head, but I'm glad the listeners are with you.
That's right. That's right. What are you sipping on tonight, Kyle?
I'm sipping on another Seattle-based beer, Reuben's Brews, the Mind the Gap IPA, one of like 10 IPAs they have. So,
Mind the Gap IPA. So fitting to our podcast, Kyle. I'm glad you're exactly. So on brand.
Exactly.
I've got a Lagunitas.
Brown ale.
Yeah. I've got a Lagunitas, which is based out of California. Something called Little Sumpin' Ale, Kyle. Have you had this one?
Yeah, it's like 8% alcohol or something like that. I love
this
it.
This is true. So
we're totally fitting in the Seattle stereotype, both drinking much IPAs here in the darkness, as we haven't seen sunshine in a few days. Actually, that's not true, but
today, yeah. But barring today, it's been a while for sure. Today was actually pretty nice. But Kyle, before we get into our normal Premier League flow this week, there are a couple of notes we should probably mention. So our hardcore fans probably know that World Cup qualifying is coming up, and there's been a lot of talk about certain coaches releasing players to that, and players having to quarantine if they come back. So coaches saying, hey, they're not allowed, or hey, they shouldn't go, we're not going to allow our players to go, et cetera, et cetera. So CONMEBOL, which is the South American district, I should say, continent, I don't know what they call it, but qualifying district, what is the technical term?
Football governing body or something?
Yeah, that sounds better. Football governing body has canceled this round of World Cup qualifiers in light of the coronavirus pandemic, and that postponed them to a later round. UEFA, Kyle, has not. And so there are a lot of European players in England. Surprise. So that's going to be really interesting to see which players leave and which players are not allowed to leave and how happy or unhappy they are.
Yeah, or if any of these coaches are going to be able to prevent those players from leaving. I mean, you kind of get into some gray area of like what a club can and cannot do. So yeah, we've already got both Jurgen Klopp of Liverpool and Thomas Tuchel of Chelsea saying their players can't leave. I mean, look, this isn't a new issue. I remember Arsene Wenger always having beef with the English FA over players leaving, but now there's just the added curveball of the pandemic with, 14 days self-isolation rules in many places. A lot of question marks if the players would fit into that category, if there'd be some kind of legal loophole. Because, I don't know, as a club, when you have this much money riding on certain players, I don't know as a business how you can allow these players to leave. So it's a hot mess, and probably to make it worse, not only is UEFA just having these games, these breaks have always had about 2 games per break.
Yes.
UEFA, in the middle of the pandemic, has decided this is the best time to add a third game. Not qualifying, but like a friendly that no one's going to watch. I assume won't make any money. I don't really understand what UEFA is going for here. I don't know how much money they really think they can get out of these matches because no one watches. So
yeah, I mean, you'd have to do what, a Wednesday, because the last games for league are on Sunday the 21st. So then you'd have what, a Wednesday, Sunday, Wednesday matches or something crazy, because the next league games start again that following Saturday. Oof.
Yeah, and you would think that UEFA would be thinking about their big event in the summer, the Euros. They're not going to want all these players to pick up injuries for the Euros. So I don't know. It's almost like people and UEFA are both forgetting that Euros are even going to happen this summer, which I'm really looking forward to. That's one of my favorite sporting events, honestly, because every single team in the Euros is almost always good. It's a lot of fun. So crazy pandemic era news.
That's interesting because, like, the FIFA calendar, you know, the FIFA calendar works around the league calendars for the most part, and they work in conjunction together. And that's the whole reason why, players don't get punished for going to FIFA games and et cetera. And so it's interesting legally if teams can allow these players or not allow these players to go, because I feel like there could be some fallout if they don't.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, it's a really interesting story. I mean, it's not a story that'll come around every once in a while. So it's just really reflective of this crazy pandemic era. But there definitely will be fallout in this game. Sorry, in this issue. But speaking of fallout, Manchester City. I mean, not really fallout is probably there, but 21 game win run is ended, not by drawing somebody, but by a loss to their hated rivals, Manchester United, in the Manchester Derby. They won 2-0 at Manchester City. What are your thoughts just generally going into this?
Well, Kyle, I half expected a 0-0 draw. So when I saw a penalty goal by Bruno Fernandes, I thought, okay, well, at least we don't have that. We should have an exciting game here. So that was thought number one. Thought number two is that, you know, this was going to happen eventually. I mean, I didn't expect City to go unbeaten. Or maybe I did. I didn't expect them to win out every single game going forward. And so a loss to United, who's in second, is not shocking, while surprising. But, you know, I didn't think City played terrible. I thought it was more of just a lack of quality finishing more than they weren't creating chances, Kyle, personally. But what do you think?
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that people were assuming that City would go not just unbeaten for the rest of the season, but would win every single game for the rest of the season. I think it just, you know, you and I think we both took the approach of, yeah, I wouldn't be shocked because the City team is just a machine. But at the same time, you know, going, you know, finishing the whole second half of the season, you know, win after win after win is just kind of unrealistic. And they already broke a record with this 21-game win run. So, but interesting that on Friday night, you posted something to our Instagram page, a little questionnaire asking our followers if what they expect to happen in this game. 50% said that they predicted a Manchester United win or a draw, which is actually pretty surprising to me. It makes me think that a lot of United fans are on, but at the same time, even as a neutral observer, I'm not shocked by this result because United just seems to pull these sort of results out of the hat against City. But you're right. They were wasteful in this game. Raheem Sterling specifically, Gabriel Jesus also missed an opportunity at some point that I feel he should have put away. Rodri hit the crossbar. Yeah, you're right. But this game, I think it can be defined in one moment from our favorite, Titty Boy, Luke Shaw.
Yeah, Luke Shaw, Kyle. That great throw from Dean Henderson out to Luke Shaw. Luke Shaw just twisting João Cancelo into an Auntie Anne's pretzel and then running the length of the field, half the field, and then what, 1-2 with Marcus Rashford and then slotting it past Ederson. So great goal, honestly, from Luke Shaw.
Great goal.
Who would have thought United's signing of the season would have been Alex Telles, Kyle? I mean,
the most important business Ollie has done. Oh, of course, I'm kidding. But look, I know I've been harsh on Luke Shaw. I don't think his career has really gone the way that it seemed like it would when he burst on the scene with Southampton. Of course, he always seems overweight. But at the same time, he's been great this season. I mean, he's been one of the best left backs in the league. He deserves that starting spot clearly over Alex Telles, who people were expecting big things of.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been great. He's been really great. And, you know, I know people bag on him for his weight, but he just flew by everyone on the left-handed side. And yeah, it went pretty much the whole course of the field. So a little side note, sort of a sick note for Manchester United, Marcus Rashford going off injured, but I don't know, didn't look too serious to me.
Yeah, the post-match reaction and what came out today, as this game was yesterday, doesn't look too serious. So they aren't hugely concerned about it. I don't know if he can go on Thursday against Milan. That might be too soon, but it doesn't seem like a long-term injury, which is good for United.
Big game.
It is a big game. On the City side, Kyle, before we move on, or before we have one last note, but on the City side, I don't really have a lot to mention. I mean, Pep mentioned after the game, he's like, yeah, I probably should have played that a little differently. I could have had Aguero come on, played a little bit different system. But at the end of the day, you're going to have some of these games. Like, City had 23 shots. It's not like they were outplayed in all facets of the game. I thought the end of the first half, they were dominating, and it's good that United got out of that. But credit to United. They played a really good defensive shape, and got the W. Yeah. One last note, Kyle, that I want to ask you about is that David De Gea is on an extended break for personal reasons. And I'm not the guy to speculate. What's going on here? Dean Henderson is expected to take over the next few games. David De Gea just had his wife just had a baby, but usually players are only gone for about a week. So what's going on here, Kyle?
It's kind of a weird situation. I mean, look, as an employer, you'd want to give your employees an extended like parental leave, but in the world of football, that is never really the case. And you're right, players are only out for a couple days, and it has me wondering if this is the end of David De Gea, if they're sort of giving Dean Henderson a run for a sort of audition for the first name on the goalkeeping team sheet. So it seems odd to me that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer would come out so publicly saying it's for personal reasons and that he will probably be out for a month and he can be out for as long as he wants. I don't know. It just seems odd to me. But, you know, we probably are just speculating.
McGuire did say after the game that David De Gea was teaching Pancho. I saw you looking at your dog and it just came out. That's funny. Blooper reel. He did say after the game, Harry Maguire did, that David De Gea was the number one keeper and was teaching Dean Henderson a lot of different things. But I don't know. Maybe that's just quote unquote slabhead the captain talk. I don't know. That's all I have to say. Moving on, Kyle. United's bitter rivals, Manchester City, are top of the table. And United did get a leg up on them. But United's bitterer rivals, Liverpool Football Club, Kyle, are falling faster than a downrigger ball sinking into the ocean, as I mentioned in the intro. where they lost 1-0 to Fulham Football Club, Kyle. And the Cottagers, let's start with them, because I want to start on a positive this game. And they have now pulled in to 18th spot where they were already, but they are even on points with our favorites, Brighton, Kyle. Fulham, did they deserve it? I kind of walked away from that game thinking they deserved to win.
Oh, I 100% think they've deserved it. I think they've deserved this sort of run of results that they've gotten recently. I mean, every single game Fulham plays, it doesn't matter who they're going up against, it looks like they can get something out of each match, even against the big six clubs. For me, they deserved this game. They had a few other chances and a really nice goal from, I think it was Mario Lemina. But I know, you know, people are saying, why are you getting excited about Fulham? They're still in 18th. Might you recall that at the beginning of the season, I said, after three games, I've seen enough, they are done. It's impossible. They will never, ever make it out of it. And their owner even came out and apologized to everyone and said, this isn't good enough, I'm going to change something, which is like something I've never heard from an owner. Like, it was just bizarre. And I was feeling sorry for Scott Parker at the time. A couple weeks later, Fulham signs like 10 players on loan, it seems, all of whom seem pretty good players, and suddenly they have a good squad with them. And look, I got to give Scott Parker credit, because to get that many loan players on board and to change his tactics to be more defensively solid, because they were leaking goals left, right, and center. And it must be half of their team that's on loan. I mean, their center back partnership with Anderson and Adebayo. Anderson looks particularly good. I know Spurs and Liverpool have been linked with him in the past, but he's got a really nice passing range. He's really intelligent, plays for Denmark. And Adebayo, I think, is a Manchester City youth player, about 21 years old. So, yeah, Fulham deserve this, and Scott Parker deserves a lot of praise. They're not out of it, but out of the bottom 15 sides, at least for myself, I would probably bet money on them to win any match over, you know, Newcastle, Brighton, Burnley, West Brom, and who else am I forgetting that's useless? Sheffield? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you go through the bottom eight or so, and you could say Fulham are right in that or favorites against all of them. So pretty impressive from Fulham and their turnaround. I think they've been good for the past, couple months almost, a month and a half for sure, where they've been drawing a lot of games, where they've looked good, but they've started to get a couple wins here against Everton, notably, where they kind of blew them out of the park. And then this game, where this game was a little more of a struggle, Kyle, they had to hold on in the second half. I thought first half Fulham were really, really good. In the second half, they showed a little bit of resilience. But yeah, full credit to Fulham, and I would, you know, we'll talk about it a little bit later on the pod, but I would put them ahead of some other teams as favorites to stay in the Premier League. Liverpool Football Club, Kyle. Where to start? I'm gonna start with some stats for you. So you go out on the street in Seattle, Washington, which, if they know what Liverpool and their players are, that's a good start. But you go out on the street and you ask them, what is Liverpool's problem right now? And they'll probably tell you Virgil van Dijk and the defense, and, you know, it's just in total shambles, which should be the first answer. It's obvious their center back cluster injuries. Through their first 14 games where they were top of the table, Kyle, Liverpool allowed 19 goals. So 19 goals were scored against Liverpool in their first 14. They've played 14 games since then, if they have allowed 17 goals, which is two less than 19, their first 14. So net difference of two. Their offense, Kyle, first 14 games, they scored 36 goals, which is really, really impressive. Their last 14, they've scored 11, which is a net difference of 25 goals, Kyle.
Oh my God.
What is going on with Liverpool's offense that we don't talk about as much as the defense?
I mean, I think the best approach is to talk about things that we haven't already talked about. I mean, let's give a quick mention to the fact that with like Joe Gomez and Van Dijk injured, they're not doing the high press, which directly, you know, impacts their offense. But for me, looking beyond that, I mean, this is a midfield. You know, this, they're playing in Klopp's system, which is just the sort of heavy metal football, high pressing, and the midfield's job is to, you know, basically be the workhorse. Well, they haven't had a creative playmaking center midfielder. And no, I'm not talking about Thiago because he's a little more deep lying, but they haven't had that sort of number 10 cam position since Coutinho left all those years ago. And Coutinho wouldn't even fit in Klopp's system. But all that being said, with the high press gone, they need some other source of creativity in the side. And, you know, it can't all come from Bobby Firmino. And you're not going to get it from your wide players. So it has to come from midfield. And the wide back, the outside backs can't push far as far forward without those center backs. So they really are lacking that creativity in the midfield. And it's just not creating chances for Salah, Mane, Firmino. But you and I both know that's not the end of the story. It's not just your midfield. You also have to look at the forward line.
Yeah, Kyle. And Salah, who's the leading goal scorer in the league, funny enough, you would say he's not in form. I think that's a common thread. Sadio Mane, I thought, has been bad recently, honestly. He hasn't been doing the business. He came off the bench in this game, couldn't get it done. Bobby Firmino didn't even play in this match, Kyle. They went with a Jota, Salah, and Shaqiri front three, trying to switch it up, and I think they're trying to rest some players because they have some fatigue and they have Champions League coming up this week. But yeah, it's a shit show. It's a shit show. They've lost six straight at Anfield after, 68 unbeaten or something like that. It's pretty unbelievable. This team was top of the table at Christmas, Kyle, which is not that long ago. So,
and now they're in eighth place, and they have one more game played than pretty much all of their rivals that are near them. You know, Chelsea, Everton, Tottenham, you name it.
And two more than the direct team under them, Aston Villa, which is only 3 points down and even on goal difference. So it's crazy that Arsenal could potentially, if they win the London Derby, which is a big if, Kyle, Arsenal would only be 2 points behind Liverpool. That's how bad Liverpool have been. I mean, if you look at form table for the past couple months, which I don't have in front of me, but would be a fascinating fact, they would have to be at like no higher than 15th or 16th on the table. They've been that bad.
They've got to be. I mean, even two or three weeks ago, we did our rundown of the sort of top four race, and we didn't even talk about Manchester City because they're a shoo-in. You know, title race is over, even after their loss this last weekend. Mm-hmm. But Liverpool is the one team we put in probably in category in the top four. They're in eighth place, and they're only 12 games to go. It's still tight, but they've got one more game played than like everyone around them. It's just
there are 10 games. They have 10 games left, Kyle, and they have comfortably vacated the probably in spot to.
Oh yeah.
Oh man, they. I don't even know if it's in the like the 50% maybe. I think they're in the like they would need to get lucky category.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's starting to look like that. They're definitely not in the probably in category anymore. Probably the team that is closest to the probably in category. Oh, no, that's probably not true. You got to say Manchester United. But the other team, Chelsea Football Club, 2-0 over Everton. You know, on paper, when you look at the table, this seemed like a top of the table clash with two evenly matched teams. This Everton team looks serious. They would take Chelsea to the distance. Not the case. Chelsea had 2.9 XG. Everton had 0.3. Chelsea just bent them over and outclassed them top to bottom. But one thing that really stands out to me is sound the alarms. We have a wild Kai Havertz sighting. I never thought I'd see the day.
No, I mean, Thomas Tuchel went into the Forbidden Forest, and I don't know what Pokeball he was using, but he captured the right Kai Havertz, the level 50 or something. The true OGs will know what I'm talking about. That was a great performance from Kai Havertz, Kyle. He played in this false nine role off of Timo Werner, who just seemed can't finish anything. But he won a penalty. He caused the own goal, which apparently was going wide, but the shot made it go in. Yep. And he had a VAR goal that was ruled out as well, but that was a really good finish. So, I mean, where's this been? I don't know, but I mean, I'm assuming off of that performance, we're going to see Kai Havertz in the lineup again really soon.
Look, I think this is just a good reminder for everyone to not be, you know, I think football fans and pundits, they just have this tendency to be overreactive. And, you know, they see Man City lose a couple games and 10 games in, they're out of the title race, right? Or they see Bale for a couple games, he's done, his career's over. Or they see Havertz not play well for 5 games and they forget that this guy is like the generational player in Germany. And it takes time, and he's what, 20, maybe 21 years old now at this point. You know, he's still pretty skinny and looks like he's growing. I mean, he looks like a lanky, tall teenager. I mean, he pretty much is. But yeah, you're right. This performance was, he was fantastic. He sort of floated around with this freedom, and he's a really intelligent player. And I think he's just adapting to the speed and physicality of the Premier League, but also probably the speed of decision making. Because he's the kind of player who seems to like a lot of time on the ball, which he just wasn't getting. But in that sort of free false nine role, seemed like he was getting a lot of joy. And looks like a great player.
It was the role that he had at Leverkusen, which, you know, if you recall early on in the season when Frank Lampard was at the helm, he was playing him out wide. He was playing him like deeper in midfield, which just didn't suit Havertz's strengths. And he wasn't getting clearly the most out of Havertz. So this role and what he was asked to do today seemingly was much better for Havertz.
It's clear he wasn't a Lampard signing. It was more of the Chelsea hierarchy's signing.
Correct. Last four results for Chelsea. So if we zoom out a little bit, they have wins over Atletico, Liverpool, and Everton. And a draw, which they looked much better in, against United, Kyle. And so we talked about Chelsea. Initially, they were getting results against bad teams. We're not sure about Thomas Tuchel, et cetera, et cetera. They've been doing the business against better teams now. And they've put themselves in a really comfortable position to play, you know, close to what they've been playing to now, even a little less, a little bit under the bar they've already set. And they're getting top four, Kyle.
Yeah, it looks like that. And what would make me the most confident as a Chelsea fan, which let's be clear, I am not. But if I was, yes, the defensive solidity is there, which I think has really shocked both you and I. I mean, you're a Dortmund fan, and I don't know, I've never seen a Tuchel team defend well. But What would give me hope is the fact that the offense seems to be clicking a little bit more now. I think Timo Werner's goals are coming. We finally seen Kai Havertz. Tuchel hooked Hudson-Odoi at 15 minutes in a while ago, but now he looks like a real fixture in the team. And all these players are starting to pick up their game. So it looks really promising for them. But one notable omission from these teams, and it's one that really will hurt all American soccer fans deep to their core, and that's Christian Pulisic.
Kyle, he has not been playing. He's had a couple sub appearances, including today. But after the game, Thomas Tuchel was asked about Christian Pulisic playing, and he said he knows Pulisic can come on and have extreme quality and can contribute for 20 to 30 minutes. And later also compared him to Emerson. If you remember Emerson, he plays for Chelsea Football Club and is now the third choice left back, Kyle. So if you're Christian Pulisic, you hear Thomas after the game saying, hey, Christian Pulisic is, I've had him before. He's a player of extreme quality, can come on for 20 to 30 minutes and provide quality, and compared you to a third choice left back, I'm thinking, oh man, I have to go on loan or go somewhere in the summer because I'm not getting enough playing time here.
It's bizarre. I mean, especially when Chelsea signed Tuchel, I thought the person who would score most from this appointment 100% would have been Pulisic, but apparently not. I don't know. Those comments are really weird. It's again an instance of Tuchel maybe being too honest or just trying to play mind games in the open public, and it just seems to be coming off weird. And you can see how Tuchel will get under the skin of players or not really get along with star players, and this is a great example of that. So yeah, I would wait it out till the end of the season and see where Pulisic is at. And if he's not playing by then, I mean, yeah, you have to start at least considering it, because teams around the Premier League and Europe would love to have Pulisic.
Absolutely. Quickly on Everton, next game's coming up. They have Burnley, Manchester City, Crystal Palace, Brighton in their next four. So City's going to be a tough one, but their other three, they need to bounce back if they have any chances of top four. All right, Kyle, it's time for rapid fire. The XG Warriors, Brighton and Hove Albion played Leicester City Football Club, Kyle, and they took the L to Leicester 2-1. And Brighton started this game off hot. They scored off a MRT mistake and just a weird defensive lapse from Leicester, who were kind of all day sloppy with possession. But Silky Iheanacho scored, and then Amarte late, who the goalie Sanchez, who had a pretty good game, honestly, just whiffed on the ball, and the ball just fell onto Amarte's head and into the goal. And Leicester got the 2-1 win, and they were the better team for sure, but not by much. And huge, huge 3 points for Leicester, Kyle.
Yeah, I mean, it was ugly. Leicester were not great. Yes, they were a little fortunate with the second goal. But look, they got a result with a heavily injured team, one that was really experimental. We mentioned some of the players who just aren't quite up to Leicester's standard in the last episode, players like Amarty, Mendy, and Choudhury. But look at us. Here's Amarty scoring the game-winning goal. So good for him. Good for Leicester. Great 3 points. One team that did not get the 3 points, though, Arsenal Football Club.
Wow. They got 1 point. They got 1 point, Kyle, against Burnley at Burnley. And they started pretty well. Aubameyang scored. Nick Pope is going to want to do better after that shot. I think he got a hand to it.
Near post,
too. So 1-0, Arsenal cruising. They definitely looked like the better team in this game. But Kyle, our favorite player, Granit Xhaka, can you walk our viewers through? It deserves an explanation of what happened. So what happened in this, Kyle?
It both deserves an explanation and deserves like a little post on our social media page. So we'll look to get that up soon, because this is one of the most hilarious, I was going to say own goals that I've ever seen, but it's not actually an own goal. Look, Arsenal dominated this game so much. It's kind of hilarious that they did not win this. I don't know how they managed to not win this game. I mean, Burnley is like the bane of Arsenal's existence, it seems. But this goal from Granit Xhaka, I mean, Arsenal play out of the back. It's their style. It's what Arteta wants. But the goalkeeper gives Granit Xhaka the pass. Inside his own box, he thinks he has all the time in the world and sees a few players out on the right-hand side of the pitch. And in his effort to spread the ball out there, you know, doesn't seem to pick up his head or anything, and just blasts a cross-field pass off Chris Wood and straight into the goal. I mean, this is coming from a guy, Granit Xhaka, who just loves to talk to the media and has been doing the rounds for multiple weeks or months lately. He's talking about how good he's been and how he's proving his doubters wrong and how all the various managers he's played under continue to pick him, so he must be doing something right. And I'm like, dude, it is shit like this why people think you're so average. Sorry.
It was brutal. And I don't even know. I think you just have to watch it and see it. So hopefully we can get a post up soon. But that was just, they don't. Another reason Arsenal could have lost, and I'm sure a lot of the Gooners will say this, Kyle, is the refereeing and VAR. And so we'll talk about two different things. One, a penalty that should have been given that wasn't, and VAR didn't go back and say it was a clear and obvious error, which I don't understand, which should have been a penalty. And number two, which VAR got right, because a penalty was called, but it hit off of, I forget the defender at the time, but it hit off a defender's shoulder and then over the crossbar. They called that a penalty. VAR looked at it and saw it was a shoulder and correctly fixed that one, Kyle. But at the end of the day, 1 point for Arsenal.
Yeah, and both handball moments were with the same defender, Eric Peters. The one where they actually gave the penalty and reversed it, they gave him a red card. But it was actually just a great block off the line with his shoulder. But that first one is crazy. How that is not a penalty is beyond
me. And last week they gave the penalty against Fulham, Tottenham, for Tottenham, and that was just brutal.
They called the goal off.
Right. That's what I meant to say. So, moving on, Kyle, a 0-0 match. We just love these on the podcast. Aston Villa, Wolves. Emi Martinez, Kyle, your brother did some fact checking for us, and he is actually the fifth most fantasy Premier League. He has the fifth most points of any fantasy Premier League player, Kyle.
From second string Arsenal goalkeeper to the best fantasy pick of any goalkeeper in the league. And not only just on fantasy, but on paper, I mean, there's probably going to be some shouts for him to, like, maybe get second team all Premier League. He's been great. He's been fantastic. And for £20 million, looks like good business.
I mean, we've seen what good keepers can do to a certain team. Sheffield United last season with Dean Henderson, and this season, Emi Martinez with Aston Villa. 14 clean sheets, second most only to Ederson. You could say some are not Ederson's doing because he hasn't been asked to do a lot some games. But Emi Martinez has, you and I can count so many games where he's saved the day or saved a clean sheet or saved a draw for Aston Villa, like he did today, where they were not the better team in this game. And Pedro Neto was playing well, and some Wolves players, they had some dangerous attacks. But at the end of the day, nobody could get a goal. And on the Aston Villa side, Kyle, no Grealish, no party.
Yeah, you know, we've said no Grealish, no party for like five straight episodes now, I think it is. So
yeah.
Yeah, is there a player that's more important to their team than Jack Grealish? I would say probably only Bruno Fernandes and probably Wolf Zaha. Maybe Harry Kane, and that's probably it.
That's probably it. Yeah. Moving on, we got Southampton, a.k.a. Champ. They beat Sheffield United 2-0 at Bramall Lane, Kyle. And Che Adams had a banger in this game, a little half volley into the top corner, Kyle.
Though I swear, those are the best goals to score. If you've ever caught one, I mean, for me, it was only in training ever. I'm never scoring that in a game. But when you just catch a ball perfectly on the half volley as it sort of bounces up off the ground, is just beautiful, beautiful goal. And what was really, really good about this strike was that usually when you hit on the half volley, it's the ball is just straight ahead of you in line with your body shape. But he actually cut across this one. And I've never seen a half volley that sort of went at a diagonal angle like that, where he just hit it that purely and that cleanly. I mean, what a banger.
Yeah, Southampton's first win in 10 games too, but the downside for them is Danny Ings got injured in this game. So it looks like that is a serious muscle injury and he's going to be out for a while, at least a month. So if not longer. So tough news for Southampton there. They do get the win against a hapless Sheffield who Chris Wilder after the game had some kind of wild, pun intended, comments where he said that, you know, there's going to be a lot of changes that are going to come and he wish he could make some changes now. And some players just are not a fit at all and he wish he could get rid of them now but can't. So put a lot of onus on the players there, which is really interesting. I don't know how that's going to help Sheffield's situation at all.
I think the only reason that's happening is because I was reading there are some issues with Sheffield's I think Saudi ownership not happy with Chris Wilder, so it looks like he's trying to pass the buck and take pressure off of him and onto the players, which I'm probably with Chris Wilder on this one.
Probably, but it's not. I don't think that's a good managerial tactic, Kyle.
No, you're asking for it.
So we'll see how that works out for him. Spurs, Kyle, finally. You know, they deserve to be this far down the episode some weeks. But this week, not so. I mean, they had a great week this week where they smashed away Crystal Palace 4-1. And this game was only close just from a counter-attacking header from Christian Benteke, but the stars of this show were Gareth Bale and Harry Kane, Kyle.
Yeah, it's almost like Kane and Bale is the new Kane and Son. Although in this game, I will say Son did have an assist for Harry Kane, which was the 14th combined goal action this season, which makes them the most prolific duo in any single season in Premier League history. They've now overtaken, I think it was Lampard and Drogba, who had 13 one season. That's great, but this was all about Gareth Bale, Harry Kane. I mean, look, Bale is just improving game after game. He had an off game against Fulham, I think it was, but he's been in the past 5 or 6 matches, he's just been such quality. I mean, his range of passing, his intelligence on the ball, his finishing and popping up in the right areas. Look, it just makes anyone who says that Gareth Bale was done look stupid, and you just need to be a little more patient. It has taken a lot longer than expected, but look, I got to give you props. You were right. He should have been playing a lot sooner.
Yes, thank you. Pat on the back on that one. But yeah, I mean, he was fantastic. The way that he can distribute the ball and shoot still, and then Harry Kane with the wonderful goal this game as well. So great win for Spurs. We did say on the podcast after the City loss, they needed at least 10 points from their next 4 games. Well, of their next 3, they're 9-9, Kyle. So if to keep on that pace, they need to at minimum draw Arsenal, which you'd have to consider Spurs favorites at this point and considerable favorites. So we'll see what happens in the London Derby. But, you know, Spurs, they've made a lot of progress in the last 3 match weeks and they need to continue going to make top 4. Yeah.
One thing I will say is those 3 wins have been against Burnley, Fulham, and now Crystal Palace. You know, we said the absolute minimum is to win all 3 games in a row, which they've done to their credit. Mm-hmm. And now they are 5 points behind Chelsea in 4th place, but with a game in hand. So that's only 2 points if they win that game in hand. And all the other teams around them, except for Chelsea, seem to be dropping. I mean, well, debatable on Everton, but Liverpool, Leicester have put in some iffy performances. Manchester United aren't quite the same team they were 2 months ago. So, look, it's possible, but there were always a lot of ifs about Tottenham, but some of those ifs are finally coming together. One thing I will say real quick, Harry Kane has sort of gone off the schneid, as Justin likes to say, last month or two, but this season, 16 goals and 13 assists, and the 13 assists is the most in the league. Those are not bad numbers, my friend.
Not at all. From not bad to absolutely terrible, Kyle. West Bromwich Albion, they tied Newcastle 0-0. And I actually have something to say about this game. So we polled our viewers before this match week. Which team, besides West Brom and Sheffield, because they're doomed, is most likely to be relegated at the end of the season? And 50% of them, which was most by far, said Newcastle United, Kyle. Which is fascinating because I'd agree. They have so many injuries. They've been playing terrible. They played worse than West Brom in this game, in a game they probably needed to win. and Fulham are on the rise. So it's all bad. It's all bad. And the last thing I have to say is prep your rocket launchers to an extreme launch into outer space, because this is the biggest launch since Elon Musk's last launch. I don't know what else you can say about this game.
I mean, all I'll say is this game was at 4 a.m. on the West Coast on Saturday. And all I will say is for any Americans who watch this, I'm here for you, and I am sending you my best wishes.
Last game of the week, West Ham beat Leeds United 2-0, Kyle. West Ham continuing to perform against, I mean, a mid-table Leeds United side, but West Ham sit in fifth place, game in hand, 2 points behind Chelsea. So if they win that game in hand, West Ham are in fourth place, Kyle. What a season from David Moyes and his second stint with West Ham United.
I mean, who would have ever seen this coming? I mean, honestly, not just David Moyes, not just West Ham, but you also throw in Lingard into the situation. I mean, there are all these combining factors that you would never think would make a greater whole. But with West Ham, it's working. And when Lingard was signed by West Ham in January, you posed a question to me. I think it was in a buy or sell segment. Mm-hmm. You said, Jesse Lingard will score 5 goals. And I, even though I dog on the guy forever, I mean, last season he was like the butt of all of our jokes. I bought it, which I felt kind of weird to my core saying that. But here he is, 12 more games to go. He has 4 goals. Looks like he's definitely going to reach that 5-goal mark. Yeah, look, West Ham are just playing as a great collective right now. They're solid at the back. They've made really smart signings. I mean, Sue Fall and Suchek. I mean, what signings? Oh, my God. I mean, Lingard looks great. Fornals looks great. It's all coming together.
It's interesting, Kyle, because of the recent history for West Ham, and we were talking about this a week or two ago. We mentioned this in the pod. Like, they've signed players like Chicharito and all these like luxury signings that probably had the mentality of like, oh, they're going on the tail end of their career. Like, oh yeah, I'm a big name at West Ham. Look at me.
I get to live in London, which is cool.
Yeah. Right. But now they have players that have something to prove, Kyle, and they're playing hard and they're on this ascendancy, like Declan Rice and Lingard has something to prove. And you have all these
Antonio.
Right. So it's a different mentality and it works. So full credit to the players and David Moyes as well. So Leeds United, last thing. I mean, I never worry about them. They actually created a lot of chances this game and were pretty unlucky not to finish at least one. They should have had at least one goal in this game. So a better day's ahead for Leeds United. I feel like we flip-flop
copy episodes
where sometimes we're like, oh, you know, this is the Leeds. They score 5 goals. And then we're like, better days ahead. It's rinse and repeat.
It's literally copy and paste. Sometimes their style works. Sometimes it just falls flat. And yeah, you can rely on them being really inconsistent. One thing real quick I will say is Jesse Lingard's penalty in this game, which was saved before he put in the rebound, means with 12 and in some cases 13 matches left in the season, we have surpassed the number of penalties awarded from last season. And to me, that is a big indication of why VAR sucks so much and why, or at least how VAR is being implemented is just, I don't know, it's not doing it for me.
Yeah, and West Ham has an upcoming schedule nightmare, Kyle. So they've been playing super well, but they have United, Arsenal, Wolves, Leicester as their next four. So tricky, tricky, and we're going to find out a lot about if West Ham is serious or not. Yep.
But one thing I will say, in the last game, I think they've won 2 out of their last 3. They put City to the distance and put up one of the best performances against City. They've beaten Spurs. And then they win this game. So, you know, when you put up a Spurs, Man City, and then Leeds, that also looks really tricky. So it's doable, but yeah, I see some dropped points in West Ham's future.
Agreed. Kyle, we're going to cover one last thing real quick before we end the show today, and that is Champions League. The second leg of the round 16 is coming back. And we have some good games. We have some Premier League games, etc. But we have four games upcoming this week, which is one of them is the Premier League, and we'll start with that. Liverpool is at home, where they've lost six straight. And they are playing Leipzig, Kyle, where they have a 2-0 lead against Leipzig and two away goals. What is your confidence that they can advance through to the round of eight?
Even though it's at home and Anfield is like the bane of Liverpool's existence, which just sounds crazy to say because they've just been so dominant for so long there. Look, Leipzig having to score three goals at Anfield, that's a huge ask. And I mean, you watch more Bundesliga than I do, but this Leipzig team doesn't seem to have quite as many goals as they did last season with Timo Werner. But look, they still got plenty of quality, but I would still, bet on Liverpool to at least get through the tie. Not sure if they'll win the match, though.
Agreed. Yeah, I'm not sure they'd win. They might tie. They might lose like one by one. But it's tough to imagine Liverpool conceding three and not scoring any against Leipzig. I mean, it'd be a catastrophic collapse. And Leipzig have been playing well recently, but it's against much lesser competition in the Bundesliga. So, yeah, I'm going to give the nod to Liverpool. And if I had to pick a score, I would say 2-2. Liverpool, yeah, and Leipzig.
I'd say 2-1 to Leipzig, probably.
Oh, that would be spicy, though, because then 3-1 would mean Leipzig. Kind of hope that happens. In non-Premier League, Kyle, PSG shellacked Barcelona 4-1, which was the Kylian Mbappe show. And this was in Barcelona, meaning Barca have to win. They have to score four goals to move on in this tie, because a 3-0 victory would not be enough. So, Kyle, what are your chances Lionel Messi and co. can pull off the great escape number two?
Not just four goals, but four goals unanswered. Key part. What I will say is the 4-1 PSG over Barca, it feels like ages ago. And Barca in recent weeks have actually, it's like there's life in Barcelona for the first time all season. I mean, they've got some of these young players coming in playing well, like Pedri and Ilix. I'm not pronouncing that right.
Yeah, yeah. New president.
Yeah, new president. I mean, that's probably the biggest one of all, you know. And, Griezmann's been playing pretty well as of late. Sergiño Dest looking a little better, too. So there is life in Barca, but look, that defense is not going to keep out Mbappe. And I'm not even sure who else is healthy at PSG, but it doesn't matter. I mean, they're not going to keep a clean sheet against them. So Barca are going to go out. But, I would probably pick Barca to win this one. I'm going to go 3-1. Make it a little interesting, but not Ooh. Enough.
Yeah, I'm going to go PSG winning 2-1, Kyle. I think Mbappe, again, is going to have another show. I don't think anyone on Barcelona can stop him, to be honest with you. Beloved Borussia Dortmund, team of the podcast here, my team of the podcast, I should say. They went to Sevilla and won 3-2 in an actually surprising matchup where Dortmund played really, really well, Kyle. Sevilla going to Dortmund down a goal, allowing three away goals. I know they can go to Dortmund and score, but asking to score three is really tough. I'm going to say Dortmund are going to advance on a 2-1 victory over Sevilla, Kyle.
Oh, this one's tough to me because, I've always had a soft spot for Dortmund, which will make you happy to hear. They're my team in Germany. I just love the ethos of the club. But that defense of y'all's is boo-boo. It's terrible. Mm-hmm. And you still have Burki and goal or whoever else.
Marwin hits lately.
Yeah, exactly.
Not good.
Everything you need to know. I think Zagadou still plays, and that guy is just no good. Mats Hummels seems to be able to like sprint 10 yards. I don't even know if he can sprint anymore. But what I'm getting at is I love this Dortmund's attacking side, but defensively it concerns me. And Sevilla is an exciting attacking team. Ocampos is a great player. I mean, they've got a bunch of great players, let's be honest. But three away goals for Dortmund is huge for them. I'm going to go with a 2-1 Sevilla win, but that would make Dortmund through on away goals.
Correct. That would be nervy. I don't want that. Kyle, Juventus at home, who actually lost against Porto 2-1 in Porto last game, Kyle. But, big but, Juventus got that away goal at the very end of the game, which is huge, huge for them, meaning they could win on a 1-0 victory. So Kyle, if I had to give a prediction here, I would say Juventus are going to move on in a 3-0 victory with Cristiano Ronaldo securing 2 goals. What's your prediction?
Quick question. I actually am like doing a live search of this, but I know Cristiano did not play at the weekend in Serie A. Is he playing in this game? Do you know about that?
I'm pretty sure he is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he is. He was just benched for Juve's win against Lazio, which I actually don't think is that controversial of a move anymore because I just don't think Juve and Ronaldo are a good fit for whatever reason. So, look, yeah, this is a spicy matchup. Pretty shocking that Juve lost to Porto in this round. I mean, Porto is one of the weakest sides left in the draw last 16. But Juve are going to pull through. They've got balls of steel as a club, and you just know that they're going to pull a trick out of their hat. But here's a curveball. I'm going to go with the Wes McKinney brace, baby.
Ooh.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to go to 3-1 Porto. No, sorry. 3-1 Juve.
Oh, that would be wow. All right, so we have Liverpool advancing, PSG advancing. We both have Dortmund advancing, although you narrowly, and we both have Juventus advancing. So there you go. You've heard it from us. All home teams this week in the Champions League will advance.
I kind of hate that we agreed with each other on all the points, but you know, so next week it's going to get spicy because I could see Madrid getting knocked out by Atalanta. What a story.
That would be fun. Yeah, we'll preview those next week.
The COVID romance story. I mean, I know Bergamo deserves that.
That's right. Well, that's it we have for this week. Upcoming games. Hopefully we have we semi-teased a guest last episode. We did not have that. So hopefully we have a guest to break down the West London Derby. Hopefully an Arsenal fan, which would drive Kyle a little bit crazy, but we need a little bit of balance on the show. Other games we have going on this upcoming weekend, we have Fulham hosting Manchester City, which normally I would say is not an interesting game, but I think is a fascinating game. Upcoming, you have Arsenal-Tottenham, and on Sunday after Arsenal-Tottenham, we have a juicy one of United hosting West Ham, Kyle, where I don't think Jesse Lingard will be allowed to play because he would be facing his host club. So it'll be interesting to see if that throws off the West Ham mojo.
I hate that move. I hate that sort of that rule. I mean, I guess it's not a rule unless the club actually sets it up.
You have to have it in the clause, but that's especially like intra-league, most clause, that's pretty standard.
Yeah, some good matches, but I mean, look, clearly I'm a little biased here, but the North London Derby is always the big one. Doesn't matter where these teams are in the table. Okay, I will walk that back a little bit. Doesn't matter where Arsenal is in the table. They are going to show up because I've seen plenty of Tottenham sides not show up to this game in my lifetime, but Arsenal doesn't do that. So you know they're going to show up. It's going to be a lot of intensity. You would assume a lot of goals, especially the way Jose is setting up the Spurs side. And, you know, Aubameyang is back as well. So should be really spicy. But, you know, I got to back my Spurs. Bale heavy.
Sure. Oof, I would love that. Well, for Kyle, I am Justin. We will see you next week to break down all of the Match Week 28 games. Until then, stay safe, and we'll catch you later.